I'll just start in sharing a little bit what came up in my heart. It got so big, we'll have to see which direction God gives me utterance for it, because I can't get it all out tonight. That's pretty much a common problem for me now. I remember preaching one time for a pastor, and at that time we were just traveling, we weren't pastoring, and I remember I landed and he picked me up. We were going to the hotel or a restaurant, wherever we were going, and we were talking. I didn't know him real well, but we got talking a little bit, and he said, man, you travel all the time. I was looking at your schedule. You preach all the time. I said, yeah, I don't know how many services a week, but, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week on the road, because you're preaching nights and sometimes morning and nights and stuff. And he said, man, that's a lot of preaching. I don't know if I could get that many sermons. I said, brother, I said, my problem is not whether I can get that many sermons. My problem is getting it all out. I didn't tell him, but I thought to myself, you might want to check up whether you're called or not, you know. Anyway, so, but we'll just believe God for what he does want us to say tonight. But back in June 14th, 2018, I don't know if you remember June 4th, 2018 or not, but the Spirit of God spoke to me on some things. And one of the things he said, make my people to be skillful in faith.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know that, you know, I know that he didn't mean make them like strangle them, you know, around the neck. But you know what I mean, make my people. Yes. In other words, equip them.
Yes.
Give them what they need. Yes. To be skillful in faith. Maybe I shouldn't have put that mental image in your mind, but anyway, you understood what he meant. I understood what he meant, right? In other words, help them, give them the tools to do that, and that got me thinking about things that I've heard Pastor Nancy preach on, Dr. Dufresne preached on, and that is they talk a lot about skillfulness, especially Pastor Nancy. God uses her. I told her one day, I said, Pastor Nancy, all the things you've said about skillfulness, it brought a whole new side to the word that I never thought much about. And so this is, I'm talking about a number of years ago, you know, but since that time, that importance of that just kept growing, and it has been growing in me. And so we're going to talk about developing skillfulness or becoming proficient in spiritual things tonight. You know that like an athlete, for example, you know, sometimes people say, I want to be an athlete, or I want to be a football star, or basketball star, or whatever. And they're usually thinking about the glory and the money and so forth. And they don't realize the work, you know, the development of those skills. They don't realize whenever that, especially the real good ones, whenever their friends are out, whatever, Friday night partying or doing whatever thing they want to do, you know, eating steak and so forth, just drinking beer. He's in the gym and he's practicing, if it's basketball, he's practicing, you know, shots.
Yep.
Right? And so there's nobody just rolls out of bed and is a good athlete, or rolls out of bed and is a good musician, or or you know, whatever. There's a skill that they have to develop.
Yes.
Amen. And so I don't know if you can get that echo out, gentlemen. It's been a problem all night. So maybe you can help get that out. But so it's the same thing with spiritual things. Spiritual things are a skill also.
Yes.
And that thought, that way of thinking has really, really helped me to understand the scripture. Just think about this verse. You might want to turn there, 2 Timothy 3:17. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, this is the Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic says, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, the previous verse talks about all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You remember that? And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, so forth and so on. So then he said that the man of God, the Amplified Classic, that he may be, what's that say before proficient? Complete and proficient. Look at that word, proficient. Everybody say proficient.
Proficient,
proficient means you're good at it.
Yes, sir.
Woo, you're good at it.
Yeah, amen.
How many of you know there's a lot of things in the Word of God that shows us the way to live, and we can be sloppy at it, or we can be good at it.
Yes, sir.
And the better at it we are, the more successful in spiritual things we'll be.
Amen.
Just like the better an athlete is at three-point shots,
yes,
or whatever,
yeah,
you know, like a basketball player. The better he is, the more games he's going to win.
Yes.
And the better you are at some of the skills of the Word
yes
of God,
yes,
the better and more often you're going to succeed in spiritual things rather than fail at spiritual things. I mean, if we're going to do it, let's get good at it. It's worth getting good at. If anything's worth doing, Brother Hagin used to say that all the time, if anything's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And that's true about spiritual things. If something's worth doing, let's do it right. Right? So, but let's just think about, because sometimes, you know, you say that and people maybe don't think about the kind of things that we're referring to when we talk about skills. But let's talk about just some of the skills. There's so many of them just generally in the Word. But let's just hone in on some of them concerning faith. How about the skill of just hearing? Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing. I've discovered some folks aren't good at hearing.
Yes.
Like Jesus said, they hear and don't hear. In other words, they're not good at hearing at all. Isn't that right? And so people need to develop the skill of hearing. You ever notice your children have to be trained to hear? I mean, they hear, but they don't listen. I mean, it bounces off the eardrum, but it doesn't really register. Right? And so we really got to get good at hearing. You know, the Bible says, take heed what you hear. And then it says, take heed how you hear. Amen. So to be good at hearing, you got to filter some things out. Remember the Bible said in Proverbs 4, incline thine ear. So you got to be able to, you ever sit in a busy restaurant and you're trying to hold it, you're sitting there with some friends across the table or whatever, you're trying to hold a conversation with them.
Yes.
And they're talking, but there's a lot of people talking.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a noisy restaurant. Plus, they got music going or whatever. I personally don't like those kind of restaurants. I mean, sometimes the food's real good, but it's hard to talk.
Yeah.
Anyway, but if you ever said in that, and you got to really tune other things out just to hear what the person's saying.
Yes.
That's what it means to incline your ear.
Yeah.
Just because you're walking with God and hearing from God doesn't mean there aren't other voices talking out there. And you got to get good at just tuning them out,
yes,
ignoring them,
yes,
considering not what they're saying, answering what they're saying, and tune into one voice and one voice alone. And we could talk about hearing. There's a whole skill that has to be developed in hearing. And that's not the subject, but I'm just thinking, making you think of some of these things. How about the skill of feeding your faith? Some people want to exercise all the time, but they don't spend any time feeding it. How about the skill of meditating in the Word? We've had people come to us and say, because they needed some help. I said, well, Pastor Debbie and I'm thinking of this one situation. We were both in the meeting, and they said, you know, I've just never been very strong in this area. I said, or she said, I think, well, we got some books in the bookstore on that. Yeah, but I have, what they say, attention deficit disorder or whatever, and I can't really pay attention. Well, we said, maybe if you listen to audios, that maybe, well, yeah, I can't really pay attention to that. So we said, so you're saying that you can't do what the Bible
right
said.
Now, come on.
Yeah, that's a excuse.
Yeah,
but they were a skilled mechanic.
Yeah, they could focus on other things.
Yeah.
They could focus on studying their trade.
Yeah,
manuals and things they had to study, but they couldn't meditate on the Word of God. You know, that's a lie from the pit of hell that you can't meditate on the Word of God. I don't care what social media has tried to do to people's brains that keep them from meditating very long. You can get that back.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Amen. Poke your neighbor and say, get it back.
Yeah.
Amen. So anyway, that's a whole subject of meditating on the Word, the skill of meditating on the Word. Now, how about just the skill of agreeing with God rather than bucking what he says? How about the skill of not just feeding your faith, but releasing your faith? How about the skill of laying hold and holding fast? Sometimes you got to hold fast. Sometimes you got to stand your ground. How about that skill?
Yes.
Whenever the devil's breathing the hot breath of unbelief down your neck. How about the skill of not taking wrong thoughts?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. I tell you what, can I just share a little bit? I've known people who for 15 years sat under the word like what's being taught here. And for 15 years sat under the word. And still, if they get a bad report, unless somebody's there to remind them of the word, they get completely, some of them go almost ballistic. Emotional. Frazzled, troubled, anxious, worked up, unsettled, fearful, talking real fast and anxious about, and until somebody else who's stable in faith gets their attention back on the word,
come on now,
they're not going to be settled. You understand what I'm talking about? That's a lack of skill. They may know what to do, but they haven't practiced it enough to be able to be real good at saying, now listen here, you get a hold of your attention and you turn your mind on, this is what the word says. Unless somebody else is strong in faith around them, they're going to be frantic. That's somebody that's not disciplined to do the word. They have not developed the skill to do the word. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. It's just true. Yeah, I mean, something might hit you real hard, and you weren't expecting it, and you got to get a hold of yourself. But see, somebody said, how do you get good at doing that? You practice, practice. Just like the guy, you know, it's 10 o'clock on Friday night, and he's in the basketball court, you know. Practice, practice. You got to get good. When your mind, when someone, a thought comes for your mind, you got to get good at, hey, horsey, back here. It is written. Turn your attention away from that. Turn your attention onto the word of God. That's a skill. I said, that's a skill. You know, some of these folks are going to find out one of these days that God's not going to let anybody else help them eventually. They're going to have to grow up on their own and be a doer of the word themselves, because God won't let anybody else carry them after a while. It's just like in your family, some child, you know, they, whenever they're young, they do certain things and act certain ways and so forth. But whenever they get older, you don't let that happen anymore. Take, for example, children sometimes borrow one another's clothes. But listen, when you get to be 48, you're not borrowing anybody else's clothes. And if you are, you need to grow up. The same thing's true with other people's faith.
Yes, sir.
That's good. That's good.
When you're young, you can borrow other people's faith and ride on other people's faith, hold on to their coattail in faith, and God will let you do it. Bless you all the way home.
Yeah.
And three times on Sunday. But as you grow up, he's not going to bless you on somebody else's faith. I feel mean on unbelief tonight. Amen. God will say, like Brother Hagin said, put that big youngin' down and let him walk. Well, they don't want to walk. They want to be coddled and carried and all of that. Eventually, you can't even do it for them, because God won't let you do it for them anyway. He's basically expecting them to grow up. Now, I'm not talking about 3 weeks after they got saved. Maybe not even 3 months, you know. You understand?
Yes,
you know, it's okay for a baby to be a baby. But whenever they get big, you know, it's time for somebody, it's time for them to grow up. Praise the Lord. That's all free. I won't charge you a dime for that. And you can just look straight ahead if it's you. How about the skill of not taking wrong thoughts? That's what we were saying. That's a skill. And so how about the skill of renewing your mind? How about the skill of holding fast to your confession? How about the skill of calling things that be not as though they are? How about the skill of not letting your mind dominate you and draw you away from the Spirit? How about the skill of following the inner witness? Skill of walking in love. Amen. The skill of praising right in the midst of adversity. That's a skill. See, now you understand some of what I'm talking about when I talk about becoming proficient. Some wonder how you get to be, how you get to have strong faith. Well, you got to face some things. You can't just feed your faith and become strong in faith. You got to develop the skill of resisting what the enemy's saying. I've had times where I woke up in the middle of the night and the devil and the fear just right there. Yeah. Just smack me. Yeah. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to fail in ministry. You're going to fail financially. And just, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. And I just had to answer all those thoughts.
Yes.
Boy, and it was oppressive. But whenever I started answering them, I got unction. I remember one time I got unction of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost started reminding me, started saying to me, tell him how many times he's failed. He's telling you you're going to fail, but he has already failed. He tried to rise up against God and be like the Most High in heaven, and he failed. He tried to keep Jesus from raising from the dead, and he failed. He tried to keep me, from getting saved, and he failed. He tried to bind me with sin and hold me in sin, and he failed. And I got unction on him, and I started reminding him of all his failures, and the Holy Ghost came on me, and he left. He took off. He didn't want to hear about all that. Hallelujah. So, amen. Praise God. How about the skill of edifying yourself spiritually? Just take the word and build yourself up. That's what I just said. How about the skill of looking at things that are not seen? The skill of considering not, looking not at the things that are seen. How about the skill of not being distracted with your attention when you're meditating on the word? Well, praise the Lord. And so many other things. How about the skill of not going beyond your measure of faith? That's a skill. You got to know where your measure is. If you're walking in all the light you have and you're at the edge of your faith, you'll be able to keep thoughts of anxiety and failure and so forth off of you. But when you get beyond your measure, you can't keep those thoughts off of you. You can't stay enjoying peace. So you got to back up to where your measure is.
Yes.
Been talking about this tonight.
Yes.
But find out where your measure is. And wherever you can keep those thoughts at bay and not let your heart be troubled, not let him trouble your mind, and you can stand there and resist those things, there you found the edge of your faith. Remember the Bible talks about having joy and peace in believing?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Just some reminders tonight. Hallelujah. Now let me say this. The term, you've heard the term, Matthew 9:29 has it in, Mark 5 in a couple of places. Different, it's said in different ways in different places, but you've heard the term Jesus said this, according to your faith, be it unto you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Is that true tonight?
Yes.
About me?
Yes.
You?
Yes.
All of us?
Yes.
Everybody in the body of Christ?
Yes.
It's being done to them according to their faith.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
That's exactly, that takes sovereignty and blows it out the door. The teaching, the way sovereignty is being taught in the body of Christ, which is the most damnable doctrine of devils you ever heard in the body of Christ. It's one of the worst in the body of Christ. It's not according to God's sovereignty. It's according to your faith.
Amen.
And Jesus said so. Really, I need to write a book on that because it's such a huge subject. But anyway, but that statement, according to your faith, when we hear that statement, a lot of times we think in terms of, and this is fine, there's truth to it, but we think in terms of according to my faith. In other words, according to the measure of my faith, which means according to the size of it or something like that. And there is a truth there. But I want you to start thinking of it in terms of, because the Lord was saying this to me to tell you this tonight, think of it in terms of according to your faith. In other words, the skill you have developed in faith.
Amen.
According to the skill you have developed to cast down imaginations whenever the yakety yak yak comes.
Yes. Amen.
Right? Because faith, yes, it can grow, it can become larger and so forth and so on. You can have a greater measure in the sense of size or whatever, however, you know, you want to say that. But yet, right on the other hand, faith is more like a muscle in the sense that, and it looks like that guy's got bigger muscles than me. Well, really, it's not that he has bigger muscles. You got just as many muscles as he has. Right? But he has exercised those muscles and they've gotten stronger. And in the midst of getting stronger, they got bigger. Does that make any sense? So don't just think of, I need bigger faith. Think of, I want to develop skill. I want to use this, and get real good at casting down imagination. Real good at staying in peace. Whenever troubling thoughts come or a bad report comes.
Yep.
Real good at taking no thought from the enemy.
Yes.
Real good at considering not. Real good at saying the truth whenever you don't feel like it.
Yes.
Just get real good at it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And what's happening is that the better you are at that, you'll be able to lay hold of more things and not be backed out of more things.
Come on.
Because the enemy wants to back you or I off of faith. It's dangerous for a believer to be in faith. To him, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Amen? So in that sense, think of it in that way, not just the size of your faith, when you hear that term, according to your faith, not just the size of your faith, but the skill, according to your skill. If you have the strength through, number one, feeding it, number two, exercising it, to stand and keep on standing and resist the enemy, resist the thoughts of failure, resist the thoughts of, I'm going to die, whatever, depends on what you're standing for.
Yeah.
But if you have the skill of standing and not giving in to that, it'll be done according to that skill.
Yes, amen.
According to that skill. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
I love whenever members of the church here or Kansas City come and they say, this thought came to me or this symptom came to me and the devil jumped on my head with a thought, or whatever. And I recognized what it was and was able to answer it.
Yes.
And I dealt with that more than the symptoms because I recognize how the enemy was working and it all went away. I'm like, yes.
Amen.
There's somebody that's starting to get it, how faith works, and not just get it. See, it's not enough. Faith growing is not you knowing more of the word only.
Yeah.
It's you being able to practice it.
Yes.
Do it, do it, do it. Skillfully do it and get the results out of it.
Yes, amen.
That's how you get the greater measure. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you came tonight?
Yes.
So not only does according to your faith mean according to the measure in the sense of size, but according to the skill of your ability to use it, and especially whenever there's a lot of opposition against it. Do you realize that, anybody can use faith whenever everything's going great?
Yep.
Everybody loves you. Money in the bank. Money in the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, feel like $1 million as far as your physical body.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can walk by faith. That's not really faith anyway, but you know what I mean? Anybody can, but in air quotes, walk by faith then.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody say air quotes. But it's whenever you're being opposed. It's whenever you don't feel healed. It's whenever you don't feel like the word of God is true. Whenever you don't feel free. You don't feel victorious. You don't feel blessed. You don't look like you're blessed. You don't look in the bank account and see you're blessed.
Come on.
Yeah. Now we find out who's really got some skill.
Yes. Come on now.
Right? Praise the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth said, somebody said, how do you get, because he was a man of great faith. Somebody said, how do you get to be a man of great faith? He said, you got to face down many, many things that come against you, many, many tests and trials. Well, people don't like that.
Right.
They just want to come to church and say, please give me faith and I'll never have any tests or trials.
Yeah.
No, there's going to be. Now, we're not asking for tests or trials.
Nope.
And it's not God that sends them. The devil will bring them, though.
Yeah.
What are you going to do whenever they come?
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Amen. Are you gonna keep shouting about your great measure of faith?
Come on.
Or are you
gonna... Come on now.
Amen. Amen. Not too much shouting on that. Hallelujah. It's all true. So, but then see, you can have, because if you can sit under the word and hear the word, you can have faith for something and not use it.
Yeah.
Amen. And what you get in life will not be according. See, remember Jesus said, according to your faith. What you get in life will not be according to the faith that you have, but the faith that you use.
Yes.
It's a little like the difference between having money and using money. I've met a few people, most of them are the generation that came out or came through the Depression, that because they came through the Depression, they developed a fear of loss of money. And so whenever they got on the other side of the Depression, I mean, they became penny pinchers. Every little thing, I mean, you know, they wouldn't throw away paper cups.
Right.
Or, you know, just, I mean, just, and every little thing, save it all. And they saved money. They wouldn't spend much money. And they got bank accounts full of money. But they died with the bank accounts full of money. And their kids got it. Right? Because they had it, but they didn't use it. Now, I'm not saying spend everything you have. But my point is, there's two sides to that. You should be saving, and you should be investing, and you should be putting things like that up. But on the other hand, you should be able to enjoy it. Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, he said, I see there's an evil in the world, and that is a man with great wealth, yet he doesn't get to enjoy any of it. Why? Because of fear.
Absolutely.
See, that's another side of it. Now, people need to hear the other side. Where not just spend all they get. But anyway, I can't preach all that tonight. But see, having faith and not using it is a little like having money and not using it. You don't enjoy what you have the money to buy. You enjoy what you use the money to buy. Amen. Praise God. That's good preaching, Pastor Jay. I know it's simple, but it's just really when you think about it, it's profound. See, a lot of Christians haven't thought about, you know, by grace are you saved through faith. They know they got saved by grace through faith. In other words, grace provided it, and they had to come and receive it by faith. But they've never thought about, most Christians, not maybe necessarily a church like this, but most Christians haven't thought about from then on, after they got saved, haven't thought much about that faith or doing anything else with that faith.
Come on.
Yet the Bible doesn't just say we get saved by grace through faith. It says the just shall live. Live by faith.
Amen.
Are you living today? So if you're living today, today's the day to use your faith. For what? Salvation? You already got that. Be good to use it to maintain it. But right on the other hand, and live right. But on the other hand, there's a lot of blessings that are available in the Word of God. Amen. Live by faith. The just shall live. I live every day, so I use my faith every day. Hallelujah. So just like money, you have to use it. So faith comes by accumulating it, or faith comes or is accumulated by hearing, but it's not enough just to accumulate faith. We must use the faith we have. I know this is simple, but just hold your horses. And so Jesus, in a number of scriptures, you can see it in the Gospels, he chided the disciples for not using their faith. You know, Peter walking on the water, where is your faith? After he raised, Thomas, after he raised from the dead, he chided him for not using his faith. He chided him for not using it, but he never chided him for their measure. You ever thought about that? You look through there all those times, and there's I don't know, seven or eight. It's been a while. I don't remember the number, but there's seven or eight times there where he chided them pretty strong. Other people he chided too sometimes, but mostly it was his disciples. So staff, watch out if I come for you. Anyway, but that's supposed to be funny. But it is true. Praise God. So, but he never chided them for their measure. In other words, use what you got. Use what you got. Just keep you, get good at what you got. Get good at casting down imaginations with the faith you got. Well, I cast down 3 and 13. After that, I didn't. Well, at least you got those 3. That's better than the 27 that you used to take. Right? So now get back up and go for 4. You know, go, just keep on casting them down. Just keep on casting them down. After a while, you get good at when those thoughts come, you just go, pooey. You just go on and ignore it and say it's written in the Word of God.
Come on.
And you get so good about it. Now, sometimes people say, that like they'll hear of, Vision Sunday, for example. That's a lot of things to use your faith on. I've been doing this for a long time, and I found out God can walk and chew gum all at the same time. So I can put my faith on different things all at the same time. Now, that takes skill. It takes a larger measure, and it takes more practice doing that.
Yes, come on.
Amen. If God can walk and chew gum at all at the same time, I'll walk and chew gum with my faith all at the same time.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, somebody else might not have that measure or that skill, but that's fine. I'm not accusing them. I'm just simply saying you got to know where your measure is. Praise God. I'm just having a good night. So that's the foundation. Now, okay, my goodness, it's already 8 o'clock. And we're going to be out of here at least by 10:30. So make my people skillful in faith. I heard that on June 14th, 2018. Now, in John 8:31-32, you know the scriptures. The Bible talks about, if a man continue in my word, he's my disciples indeed. He'll know the truth, and the truth will make him free. Jesus is talking about moving, because the verse before that, he said that, those two verses that I just quoted, he said that to people who had believed on him. In other words, in one sense, although salvation or the new birth wasn't available yet in our vernacular, we would say they got born again. You understand, it wasn't available till the blood was shed. But they're believers in Jesus and believe he's the Messiah and he's going to shed his blood, so forth. But then he said, to those that believed on him, he said, this is what you do to move from being a believer. There's something more than being a believer. Move from being a believer to a disciple. And how do you become a disciple? You continue in my word.
That's good. Yeah.
And you'll be my disciples indeed. You look up the word disciple. It has the word, one of the definitions of the disciple is a learner or a disciplined one to learn.
All right. Amen.
Well, what are we going to learn? I thought all there was to it is getting saved. No, it's getting saved and going on and learning. Which includes, first of all, unlearning.
Yeah.
See, the renewing of the mind.
Yeah,
Romans 12 talks about the renewing of the mind.
Yeah.
Be not conformed to this world, be transformed. Our mind has to get rid of old thoughts and take on God's thoughts.
Yes.
And think the way he thinks about things.
Amen.
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 So when he said, now there's some things to learn. Mm-hmm. Remember Matthew 11, verse, 28, 29, down and through there. It talks about, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Yeah. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yeah.
He's got some things to learn us about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, God wants to learn you.
God wants to learn you.
What's that mean? He wants to teach you something.
Yes, sir.
And what's he going to teach you? Well, there's a whole lot more than what we already shared.
Yeah.
But just take some of those things we shared about faith. He wants to teach you not to worry.
Yes.
He wants to teach you to not take the wrong thoughts. Take thoughts from the enemy. Jesus said in Matthew 6, take no thought from the enemy, worrying, fearful, all of that.
Yep.
Amen. And just hearing it in church isn't good enough.
That's exactly right.
You got to practice it.
Yes, amen.
And the better you are at it, just like a basketball player, the better he is at it, the better he gets paid.
Amen. Yep.
The more he can command a good salary or whatever.
Yeah.
And the same thing's true spiritually. The better you are at practicing the word, the more benefits you'll get out of the word.
Yeah.
The more it'll pay off in your life.
Yeah.
How about the skill of walking in love?
Yeah. All right.
Ooh, man. You walk in, learn to walk in love, you won't have to go through 17 wives before you. You know, some of these people, they put them in movies and stuff about how to have a love life or whatever they call it.
Yes.
And their private life, they're on their fourth wife.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I want to learn something from you.
Hello.
Not.
Come on.
Right? Come on, somebody. Tell me I'm preaching all right. Come to Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me and learn. You know, if you keep flunking in an area, you want to go to somebody who knows how to stop flunking.
Yes.
Yes. And Jesus knows how to keep you from flunking.
Yes.
He'll learn you.
He'll
learn you to walk in love. He'll learn you not to. He'll learn you to zip it when it wants to come out. You know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen, amen. But see, that's being a disciple. Jesus said in John 8, come be a disciple. Come learn. There's something more than being a Christian. It's a life of learning.
Amen.
Learning new skills. Amen. Learning new skills, especially this one tonight about taking wrong thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a big one.
So good.
The thing about learning is he's offering to help you learn.
Amen.
Well, I failed at this so many times. Well, he's still there. He still wants to. He still wants you to, you know, get it.
Yes.
Still breathing, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Then he's still going to work with you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'm so glad he didn't give up on me.
Yeah.
I've gotten in trouble with God before, getting perturbed at people.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because when are they going to get it? I remember the Lord, I kind of was rough on some people. And he said, how long did it take you to get it?
Exactly.
I'm like, well, we won't talk about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's patient with all of us.
Yes.
Well, I should be further along. Well, maybe so, but what are you going to do? You just got to be. You got to start where you are. Maybe you should be. Maybe because you didn't learn, maybe you got yourself in trouble.
Right.
One way or another. Financially, physically, whatever. Marriage, whatever.
Right.
Maybe got yourself in a big pickle.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do? You're going to have to just repent and say, Jesus, okay, here I am. I'm your student.
Yes.
1 John 2:27 talks about the Holy Ghost. He's in you to teach you. To teach you all things. He's in there to guide you into all truth, teach you.
Yes.
Amen. In other words, let's just say it this way. He's in there to learn you.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
I don't know why some Christians, they don't want to learn. They're all about getting saved, but they're not about lessons.
Yeah.
You know, children, just in the natural, they like recess, but they don't like lessons. And that's a sign when somebody doesn't want to learn anything. They just want to, you know, you pray and I'll get healed and then I'll go back and live the way I live.
What?
You don't want to learn anything. That's a sign of a child.
All right now.
A baby Christian.
Yeah. Come on.
That's good.
It's all true.
Yeah.
Whether it's you, me, or that post right there. Praise the Lord. He's trying to help us. Thank God he's in there trying to help us. Thank God the teacher's on the job.
Yes.
On the inside of us.
Yes.
Teaching us spiritual things.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Brother Hagin was on the bed of sickness. And then whenever he was 16 years old, then turned 17. But he said, he was not saved. But then he died and went to hell, two times or three times, whatever. And on the third time, I think it was, he came back up and he's calling on the name of the Lord, got saved.
Yeah.
And anyway, he said, after he got saved, he said, right away he knew, somehow he knew. Now, later he knew it was the inner witness. But then back then he just said, somehow I knew I just didn't have to die at that age.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I just knew that.
Yeah.
See, that's the teacher in him trying to learn him.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that wonderful what he did for Brother Hagin? And he schooled him. Remember, he struggled, you know, his learning was slow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's he didn't have any of the teachings that we have today.
Yeah, right.
But he saw Mark 11:24 and endeavored to believe, and then he checked and he wouldn't see anything. So he thought, well, I guess I didn't receive. And the Lord had to keep schooling him. First of all, the Lord had to get him past, you know, unworthiness.
Yeah.
Right.
And then worry. And there was things that the Lord kept schooling him into or schooling him out of, you know, and getting him into the Word. So eventually the Spirit of God got across to him, Mark 11:24, you believe you received before you see that you received. And he laid hold of that. And within 20 minutes, he's up and healed. Isn't that good of God to do that? But you know, he's in you to do the same thing.
Amen.
Whatever you're going through.
Yes, sir.
Our trouble, I'm talking about the body of Christ at large now. Our trouble is that many people have not been taught to listen to that teacher. They're not taught. I talk to Christians all the time. I'm not necessarily talking about people that we fellowship with here, but sometimes here, but mostly I'm talking about outside Christians. Good, love God. I mean, go to heaven just as quick as you or me. But they're not taught to listen to this.
Yeah.
And I watch them over and over again override this. I'm thinking of one man right now for years. He knows in his heart what to do. Keeps overriding it. Just keeps overriding it. Well, the Spirit's trying to teach him.
Yeah.
But it's not enough to. It's not enough for the teacher to teach. The student must learn. Amen. That's what we want to do. We want to learn. Praise God. If you go through the Bible and you just get a Greek concordance, go through the New Testament and look up the word learn and or learned, you'll find it all through the New Testament. Remember, Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. In other words, there's the Spirit of God taught him how to do that. Taught him how to do that. And then Jesus told Brother Hagin, after he taught him faith and he had walked with God by faith for years, he said to him now, he said, go teach my people faith. He said, I've taught you faith through my word, number one, and through certain experiences I've allowed you to go through. And then he said, go teach my people what I've taught you. See, he wasn't just teaching faith. The reason he had a depth to it is because he wasn't just teaching faith from, you know, the Bible alone, although it was based on the Bible, obviously. Yeah. But he was teaching on the Bible that he had put into his life. Yeah. He had practiced and practiced and practiced, and he could stand up and tell us how to do it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So it does matter who you hang around with.
Yeah.
You can determine whether your learning is slow or it's fast.
Yeah, true.
Amen. All right. So there's so much we could say, and I'm not even getting in 10% of it. But praise God for his help anyhow, because right before I left the house, well, maybe a half hour before I left the house, I thought I was clicking on my notes to highlight it, and I was gonna copy it over into another program. And before, right as I hit the button, I'm like, ah! Clear, everything disappeared. So I'm preaching from things that don't say much of what I'm saying. Thank God for the helper tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we're learning, 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 learning. Want to learn more? You want to get better? Get better. Yes, yes, yes. Praise God. It can keep you alive to the end of your life. Jesus told Brother Hagin to start up, or witness with him, to start up Rhema. And he said the reason to start Rhema was to raise up skilled end-time laborers. Do you remember that? Skilled end-time laborers. Not just end-time laborers, skilled. Because God needs people with skill. People without skill, every now and then they bumble into being used of God. They kind of trip into being used of God every now and then and go, oh, look at that. Oh, God used me. Woo, praise God. And thank God, you know, for that. But people that learn, they can on purpose position themselves to be used of God over and over and over and over and over again.
Amen.
Praise God. So are you learning anything? Now, here's something that's taking a little different side of this. Go over to Hebrews 11 and go to Hebrews 5 and look at something here with me. Because there's something else I think it'd be important to address. And this has come up in my heart at times, and I wanted to share this with you. Hebrews 5, verse 11, we'll go down through verse 14. Of whom we have, see, he's talking about Jesus, or Melchizedek being a type of Jesus in the previous verses. And then verse 11, of whom, talking about Jesus, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Well, dull of hearing is going to hinder your learning. Right? So he's talking about them, that particular group he's writing to. It's hard to say some things, you're dull of hearing. Look at verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers. How many of you know time passing doesn't equal spiritual growth? He said, for the time you ought to be teachers, yet ye have need that one teach you again. Say that out loud, again. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become, circle that word, become. That's one of the biggest verses in the words in the whole verse. Are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now he's talking about spiritual milk, the Word of God. The Word of God has milk and meat in it. Milk is all that a baby can handle.
Yeah.
Right? Meat is for people that grow up. Just like a baby in the natural, they can't eat meat. You know, they just drink milk for a while, and then they start eating, you know, Gerber's, you know, mush, blended up peas and whatever, right? Because they can't take much. But eventually, I mean, they get a little older. That mama's gonna throw whole T-bone steaks to them before it hits the plate. They'll need another one.
Yeah,
you know, just.
Right? Yeah.
Get ready, Katie. It's coming. Look, the budget's going to quadruple, probably. Anyway, but so that's the way it is with spiritual, with being able to eat spiritually. You can't start out eating meat. You ever notice around some people you can't really share the things of God on the level that you can with others?
Yes, sir.
Because they're not at the place they can handle that.
Yes.
That's more meat, and they can only handle, you know, milk or something like that. Brother Hagin said that some Christians can't even they can't even take the milk. They just have to have Blue John. Now, I don't know what Blue John is, but I heard somebody said one time that's this like a water with this white water kind of barely milk. I've met Christians like that. I mean, they can't even hardly handle milk. We got a lot of Blue John Christians today. Well, praise the Lord. Now, no, or become. Notice that verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again. So time passing, you know, you got saved and time passes. That doesn't equal spiritual growth. He said, you ought to be because of time passing, growing. But he's saying, he's talking to this group here, that they're not growing. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about what he said to them.
Yes, sir.
If it fits you, take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. But sometimes Christians, they don't grow. They just stay where, you know, like the little boy, he kept falling out of bed at night. And mom would get up and she'd hear the thump, get up and put him. What happened, Johnny? Well, I fell out of bed. Well, put him back in bed. And that kept happening. And finally she said, Johnny, why do you keep falling out of bed? He said, well, I guess I just stay too close to where I got in at.
Well, yeah.
And there's a lot of Christians just staying too close to where they got in at.
Yeah.
And they keep plump, plump, clunk, plunk. Fallen. So, God expects us to grow. He wants us to grow. He wants us to progress. He wants us to learn and become proficient at spiritual skills. And so, he said, when for the time you ought to be learning some of these things, and you ought to even be able to teach other people. He said, here to this group, you need to one teach you again, which be the first principles of oracle. In other words, got to go back, start over at the beginning again. And then he said this is the word, and are become, say out loud, become, such as have need of milk. In other words, to become such as have need of milk means they had at one time been beyond that point. So what do we learn there? We learn that you can at one point know some spiritual truths and have some proficiency in spiritual truths and be skilled at walking in that light of that spiritual truth, and then you can regress. See, become in this verse could be interpreted regress. In other words, you didn't progress, you went backwards. I'm not saying that about you. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what he's saying here. That's all of us can do that. I found myself at times losing some of the edge to some of the skills I used to walk in. You can let things slip, Hebrews 2 says. Let spiritual truth slip. And at one time, you were skillful at it. Just like a basketball player. You know, he might have been in the NBA and made real good money and because he's a real skilled player. But now he's maybe 10, 15 years out of the league and hasn't played much. Maybe he plays a little bit in the gym. Well, you put him back in the NBA with all those guys that are on the top of their game and they're practicing every day and they're just on it, on it, on it, on it. It's going to become apparent that he has let some things slip. Now, that might not be a bad thing for in basketball, but with spiritual things, it's dangerous. Amen. I heard Brother Carlos one time say that he went one time after years playing basketball, he went to do one of those moves he used to do, and he went, ah! Amen. Well, something slipped, right? How did I do that? I used to be able to do that. Spiritually, you can be the same way. Amen. Bombarding thoughts come and you go, oh, okay, I lost some proficiency here. You know how to not lose proficiency? Just keep practicing every day, every day. I mean, you'd be surprised how many thoughts come to your mind during the day that need to be dealt with. And the better you practice that, the better you are. Praise the Lord. Good preaching, Pastor Jay. Thank you. Praise God for his help. And so when a man loses proficiency, he also loses ground. You can lose proficiency at following the inner witness. You can lose proficiency at being led of the Spirit. You can lose the proficiency of considering not. You can lose the proficiency at being undisturbed at the announcement of an evil report. At one time, you maybe would have been on top of that game and you would have been able to resist that. But you can lose proficiency if you don't stay practiced, so to speak. Amen. You can lose proficiency at praising and worshiping out of your spirit to get through opposition that's bombarding your mind. I don't want to lose proficiency, but I'm just saying we can do that. So there's just to wrap this up here tonight. Every time your mind or you become more proficient at operating out of your mind or just living in the flesh, yes, your spirit loses proficiency. Yes. A lot of times the reason we lose spiritual proficiency, if we do, I'm not saying we are, but if we do, the reason we do is because we become proficient in something that is not in line with the Word. Like if the reason we're not good at casting down, I'm not saying we are. You hear the way I'm saying this? If this is the case, if we are not good right now living without worry, it's because we've become good at worrying.
All right.
You understand? In other words, the loss of proficiency on the spiritual side was due to gaining proficiency in the mental side of taking thoughts of worry. You understand?
Yes, sir.
It's important. Sometimes people say, well, why do I need to gain proficiency? Because where God wants to take you, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. But in order to get you into it, he's got to get you good. Because what's going to oppose you on the level where you're going is going to require some skill. And now's the time to develop on the level that you are. Because without practicing getting good here, you won't be ready to start practicing on another level. And he'll get you ready for something before you get there. But if you're not ready, he can't take you into it. Because if we're not responding to the Holy Ghost, the teacher on the inside, you know, checking us whenever we're getting ready to take a thought, then he's going to slow down the progress. And sometimes people wonder why it's so slow. Well, that can be the case.
Right.
Amen. Did you get anything out of that tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You can know about spiritual things in your head, but unless you practice it and exercise it, you still won't be a success. You can come to a church like this that teaches some of these spiritual skills. And I'm not saying there's not other ones, but I'm saying I know here we teach these spiritual skills. And you can come to a place like this and know all about them.
Yeah, right.
And not practice them and still never progress.
Yeah.
I remember Pastor Nancy said this one time. She said, Adam knew when Satan came in the garden and tempted Adam and Eve. Adam knew what Satan was doing. The Bible says Eve was deceived.
Yes. Yes.
Didn't say Adam was deceived. Adam knew what was happening.
Yes.
Eve was deceived. She didn't realize what the enemy was doing. But Adam knew. Adam knew but didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Eve didn't realize it and got tripped up, you know, by kind of not realizing what was happening. The Bible says that God got both of them.
Yeah.
Not God. Satan. Satan got both of them.
Yes, sir.
So you can know what to do. You cannot know what to do and Satan take advantage of ignorance.
Yeah.
Or you can know what to do and not do it.
Yes.
And Satan will take advantage of you just as quick as he'll take advantage of somebody that doesn't know it. Amen. Everybody say, we're doers of the word. Doers, 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 doers. But I'm not good at it. This is how you get good at it. I remember when I first started, I remember the Lord, I distinctly remember, because I, as a teenager, was tormented in my mind. I opened my mind up to things that brought torment, you know, to be carnally minded is death. So, but when I got to Bible school, for the first time, they started teaching on the mind. And the Bible talks about the mind. The Bible talks a lot about the mind. And that scares people because I don't want to get into some mind science. Well, mind science is people that teach things about the mind that don't teach the Bible. The Word of God, just stay with the Word of God. So, but anyway, I needed some renewing of my mind. I never heard anybody teaching on the mind. But when I got to Bible school, they started teaching on the mind, especially Brother Keith Moore. Thank God. I needed it. And so I thought to myself, I never thought about my mind or what I think about. That's the first time I realized I shouldn't, just because I thought it doesn't make it right. I know that sounds strange to you and I today, but back then that was a whole new thought to me. That thoughts would come to me from the enemy. I never had thought about that. Bible talks about take no thought from the enemy. But Satan, so anyway, I thought, wow. So not everything that comes to my mind is just me, and not everything that comes to my mind is something I'm supposed to be thinking about. That was a real revelation to me. So I started realizing what the Bible said, you know, Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee, and how I'm supposed to keep my mind on the truth of God's word, not on whatever. Somebody said, how can I tell if it's Satan? Well, does it bring fear? Does it bring worry? Does it bring doubt? Does it bring condemnation? You know, does it bring things that contradict the word of God? So I started realizing, wait a minute, there's a lot of things coming to me that just, no wonder I'm so vexed. So I realized I've got to start taking control of my thought life. And I just, when the thought would come, I just thought, I'm not going to think that thought. And I was getting nowhere. Because I didn't yet understand. The reason I wasn't succeeding is I didn't have the right knowledge. So therefore, I couldn't practice the word. I couldn't be skillful at it because I didn't know what the word said. I just thought that to when a thought came that was wrong, just not going to think about that thought. And I was flunking royally. Finally, I'll never forget it. I turned the corner. Remember where Parkwood, that first apartment we had was Parkwood Apartments. Turned the corner off of Main Street there in Broken Arrow. What was that? Parkwood Drive or something. And turned the corner onto that drive where the apartments were. And I'll never forget it. I said, Lord, I need help. He said, you're doing it all wrong. I heard that in my spirit. You're doing it all wrong. Like a flash, I saw that I was, because Isaiah 26:3 was the first verse that God started talking to me about concerning my thought life. I got to keep my mind stayed on the Lord. And I realized there's a lot of things coming to my mind that's not from the Lord. And I'm just swallowing it down like a little bird. You know, just. Right?
Yep.
Before you realized any of this thing, where these things were coming from,
yes,
you just swallowed it in, thought it was you.
Yeah.
Well, it's thoughts from, you know, Satan. So, I mean, the wrong thoughts.
Right.
But so I said, when he said, you're doing it all wrong, instantly I saw Isaiah 26:3 in a new light. He didn't say, thou wilt keep his mind in perfect peace, who just keeps his mind blank and thinks nothing. He said, whose mind is stayed on thee. And I saw that I was to turn my attention from the thought that came and think and replace that thought with what God said and say it out loud out of my mouth. Because you don't fight thoughts with thoughts, you fight thoughts with words.
That's right.
Take no thought saying. In other words, don't take the enemy's thought and say it. Take God's thoughts and replace that thought with the word and say it.
Yes.
Answer it. Ever heard of that book?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to scratch Pastor Nancy's name off of and put my name on that book. That is the best book in the world. Anyway, so I realized I was doing it all wrong. I saw the whole thing. I mean, just like a flash. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody said, how'd you know? I just saw it. I knew it on the inside. Isaiah 26:3 says that will keep him perfect peace, his mind stayed on thee. It's not don't think that. It's think this. And then later, more revelation came about saying it, you know. Don't just fight it with thoughts. Fight it with words. Or, you know, answer it with words. So, and I started doing it right. And it was like trying to ride a bike. Whenever you'd never had ridden a bike before, didn't know how as a kid. Anybody remember learning to ride a bike?
Yes.
I'm almost done. And it was like, how do you do this? Yeah. You know, it's like you getting on that bike and boom. How many of you know today you can get on a bike and ride it and it's so easy? You wonder why it was hard.
Yeah.
But when you first started learning, everything was difficult.
Yes.
You know, skillful people make things look easy.
Yes.
When you're skillful with something, you do it with ease.
Yes.
In fact, you can get so good at it, it becomes a new habit, and you almost practice it without realizing you're doing
it.
And habits are of God. I mean, the ability to develop a habit is of God. Satan will use it to bind you, but you can use it to live free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I just felt like I was trying to ride a bike and kept going plunk and plunk and plunk. Finally, I started getting it down and getting it better and learning it. Now, that don't mean that you ever can relax. I don't mean, that doesn't sound right because you live in peace, but I mean, I don't mean you can ever let down your guard. And just say, well, I got that down. Because like Brother Hagin said, your mind no more stays renewed than your hair stays combed. Amen. I don't think you caught what I said. You can't just quit and say, I'll never have to take a thought captive anymore than you can stop combing your hair. Right? You got to keep combing your hair. You got to keep your mind renewed. Because you can have your mind renewed, and if you're not careful, your mind will start regressing back to the natural again and back to your old ways of thinking again.
So I
don't mean when I say this, I don't mean that I've arrived and don't ever have to deal with thoughts, because I do. But right on the other hand, it's almost like it happens. I answer it out of my spirit without even hardly thinking about it. And I go on about my day and it's not a big boom. It's just gone. Go about my day. Hallelujah. Skill doesn't struggle. Amen. You can get so good that you're just, it's just, you know what I mean by second nature? Maybe I should say first nature.
Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. Stand up with me. I did it. I preached myself happy. I'm about as happy enough I could run around this church tonight. This is real freedom right here.
Yeah.
You get good at doing this. Look, the Lord said this to me one time. He said, all battles are spiritual at their core. What does that mean? If you'll deal with things in these realms of faith and not taking wrong thoughts, living in peace, casting down imaginations, things like that, if you'll deal with things in this realm, you won't have to fight so much about all the stuff in the natural realm. If Satan can get it inside, then he can produce it out here. But he can't do it out here if he can't get it on the inside. Praise be to God. So I encourage you to stick with it. Just get better and better and better and better and better. And I'll tell you something that'll happen as you do that. And because the Lord said this to me. He said, the further you go in spiritual things, the more you walk with me and you become skilled in spiritual things, the more you'll see where other people are missing it and why their lives are so troubled and bound and afflicted and, you know, being kicked from pillar to post. But he said to me also, the more you grow spiritually, and then you'll see that because your spiritual growth enables you to see that. Mm-hmm. But he said, the more you, on the other side, the more you grow spiritually, the more you'll grow in the love walk. And you'll be compassionate towards them and not, you know, beat them and kick them. And you understand? And you'll say, you'll be able to have their answer for them. And if they'll receive it, you know, some people won't receive it, but you compassionately work with them, see if you can help them. Because God wants everybody to have this kind of peace.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I think I could preach the rest of my life on just the mind and be completely satisfied, almost.
Amen.
A lot of mixing faith in with it, but hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands and thank God for the word. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Thank you for answers tonight. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for the great teacher on the inside of us, the one who counsels us, the one who reminds us of your word. Not only do you remind us of how your word teaches us to develop these skills, but you're always there to help us to do it. You never leave us on our own to do these things in our own strength. Thank you, Father God. Father, if there's those that are here tonight that maybe have just kind of let down their practice of some of the spiritual skills that we referred to briefly, Father, I thank you tonight for the strength of spirit that comes into them through your word tonight to get back up and take hold of the word of God and begin to practice it again. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that as we do, I thank you we'll get better and better and better. And Father, actually, it'll become even easier and easier and easier to practice your word because it'll become like first nature. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. And we give you all the praise. I thank you, Father God, for recovery tonight. Some that were discouraged, they realize, I can do this. I can do this with the help of the greater one. I not only can, but I will do this. Hallelujah. I give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I thank you, thank you, thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Did you enjoy the word tonight?
Yes.
Listen to this. This is in Hebrews 5. Remember we were looking there? This is something I want to just refer to before we go. In the fifth chapter, we read verses 11 and 12. I don't think we got down there to verse 14, but read there 13 and 14. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Look at that. Unskillful. Yeah. There's what we're talking about tonight. In what? The word of righteousness. Get good at taking the word, the message of God's word concerning righteousness and answering condemnation. But I failed so many times. Get skillful at taking, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And I don't take condemnation.
Amen.
Amen. That's one of the biggest enemies of faith that you'll ever experience is condemnation. But if you get your mind renewed with the word of God concerning righteousness and walk in the skills of righteousness, in other words, the skill of walking in all that God has for you because of right standing, you won't be a victim anymore.
Yeah, that's good. Yep.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no righteous victims. People who know who they are in Christ, they're not a victim of circumstances or other people's actions. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be in this mess. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. And those that have seized abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they reign in life. That's one of the skills of righteousness, ruling and reigning. Glory be to God. Wow, glory be to God. I'm not a victim. I'm not in bondage to somebody else's decisions. Praise be to God. There's a shout in the room tonight. Hallelujah. 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 But I've never been able to succeed financially. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. You got to say it. I rule and reign over poverty. I rule and reign over sickness and disease. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Amen, 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 amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I think you ought to run, Evan. You ought to take off and just shout a little bit. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. You get a double blessing on the second lap. Glory be to God. Well, glory. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.